Ultimate Trivia Podcast.
Welcome to the Ultimate Trivia Podcast, the show where knowledge is power and laughter is your only reward. I am your host, Andy. We got the whole crew in the studio tonight, as we always do. His cologne is called Sourdough and Sarcasm. It's our host tonight, Nicholas.
Old sourdough.
I thought something stank.
Thanks for having me, Sourdough and Sarcasm.
Oh, man. He keeps us sounding good and reminds us the moment we get something wrong. Doc is on the soundboard over there.
Andy, I am genuinely happy to see you.
Wow, that's
genuinely happy.
First time for everything, isn't
yeah,
there?
Yeah, you make me look better every day.
Nice setup.
Well done.
If you ask him, he's the fastest beer chugger in the Western Hemisphere. Kelly in the corner.
I thought you were going to say Brian. I was confused.
I thought I was getting ready. I was getting ready to say. And now I'm offended, and we had to have contest. Yeah. Now the show's over.
And I was getting ready to say I could beat you.
You could. Yeah, you could.
Do we want to do it on the show right now?
I'm game if you are.
You guys both have an unopened beer on the table right now. Does Kelly get a handicap because he's basically handicapped?
Because he can't use his right hand. That's my drinking arm.
Oh, yeah.
I think you probably beat me.
We got to be really?
Now, if we're going beer for beer just through the night.
Oh, no.
Not a chance.
Not a chance.
But some people can do that thing.
It's a marathon, not a sprint.
People talk about that. You just kind of open the throat. People like drop them in. I can't do that. No, you know what I'm talking about? Like,
yeah.
Like, I don't think you can even do it that well. Can you?
Pretty close.
Oh, okay.
I'm pretty sure I beat Kelly one night, but he won't acknowledge.
No, you didn't.
Yeah.
I remember that night.
Oh. I'm pretty sure it happened.
No, you didn't.
You might have beat me back to the bar, but I beat it down the gullet.
Well, so I substituted in a softball game years ago, a long time ago.
I remember this.
You go out there, you chug the beer, whoever see. And that's the only good thing I did for the whole team. After that, it was garbage.
That was the one thing I did. Damn ball.
No. I was fine in the field. I struck out in softball because I didn't know it was.
You start with one strike.
I didn't realize that. Yeah. So
there you go. That's moose.
But I got home field advantage.
Yeah. You won. Yeah, you wanted something. Sticking with the moose still, huh?
Well, I'm trying to make it work.
All right,
he is the standing champion of the universe.
There's a lot of.
You will never outstand Brian. That is the conclusion.
Oh,
that's why I always call him outstanding.
There it is.
Boy, you knocked me out.
Jeez. Big B, good to see you, brother.
Good to see you.
All right. We do have a Nick episode, as we already alluded to. And I believe it is a reprisal of one of our top episodes, yeah?
Yeah. Trivia with a Twist.
Trivia with a
Part
Twist.
Two. Doing it again.
We don't know what to expect. Other than to expect the unexpected.
Part
yes.
Two.
Right?
Damn
yes.
It. Double nuts.
Okay. Well, before we get to that, though, we're going to revisit a segment called Brain Bombs. You want me to hit the button?
Yes.
Hit it.
Terrible.
Terrible. I know. Terrible. I need to get a better.
That's awful.
Oh, it's funny, though. It's still funny.
All right. So we're just going to read some fun facts. I got a little flavor text after each one of those, but let's just react to what we hear here.
Okay.
Number one. James Franco's Fresh Air is a sculpture, and it's sold for $10,000, and it's invisible.
Whoa.
Hold on.
Wow.
There's nothing to dissect here. It's nothing.
They literally took home nothing.
It is nothingness.
Like, there's not even a canvas, just a blank canvas.
So wait, you pay $10,000, and then you just walk away? And like, I own this.
It is. Maybe it came in a case. I don't know.
Can you get me this person's phone number so I can text him and say, you still owe me $10,000?
There you go. Yeah.
I'm almost at a loss for words.
I'm a bit speechless.
Yeah.
You envision this art buyer. They have a foyer when they walk into their house, and there's a pedestal there with their prized possession.
But it's empty.
Well, I mean, cue the word of the day calendar, Kelly. There's only one word to describe that, and that is pretentious.
Yeah, exactly right.
What I would like to do, though, is have a case, like you said, and then like have my friends over. Like, you can't see it? Well, you, just don't have an art eye.
Make them think that.
You can't see it?
Did you look up a picture of
it? You obviously don't have an eye for art. No,
but I did fact check.
I wanted you to look up a picture of it.
I never thought I'd have more respect for that white canvas with like a red stripe.
Oh, 100%. You know,
St. Louis Art Museum.
Yeah.
I saw that and I was just staring like, why am I not a famous artist? Like,
ridiculous.
It was just, they had it like roped off so you couldn't get too close. It was literally a red stripe down a white
canvas. It's funny because when I was researching this, they brought up other examples of ridiculous art.
Yeah.
And at one point, I think it was in the Met, somebody had dropped their glasses like in a display area and people were like gathering around it, taking pictures and things like that, thinking it was actual art.
Wow. Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So anyway, in 2011, new media producer Amy Davison purchased Fresh Air, a non-visible artwork sold through the Museum of Non-Visible Art.
That's a real thing. Whoa. There's a whole museum? I bet it doesn't take long to go through it. I mean, pretty quick.
Yeah. What's crazy is it costs like $5,000 to ship it.
I got to insure it.
I got to make sure it's...
This is the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Say it again. The Museum of Invisible Art?
It was a non-visible artwork sold through the Museum of Non-Visible Art, a Praxis project launched with support from James Franco. So he just figured out how to scam something.
Gotcha.
Where's this museum at, do you know?
You can't find it.
You can't see it.
It's invisible, bro.
I want to bomb it. So
according to NPR coverage of the project and the reporting, the buyer received a certificate of authenticity rather than a physical object.
Come on.
Damn it, you shot the invisible man. That's
right. Yeah. Supposed to fire up.
Chip, 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 nanny!
Farley.
That's the craziest thing I've learned since we started this podcast.
That's the dumbest thing ever.
I have never heard. This is unbelievable.
For air.
You shouldn't have led with that one. We'll go on to number two. No,
that is mind-blowing. Now I don't know if I'm going to be able to focus because I'm upset.
Move on.
Well, this one is another impressive one, but it may not hold up. The world's longest cigar is roughly the length of an American football field.
Wow.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. That's a big cigar.
How long would it take to burn that one down?
Oh,
I feel like if you can't hold it in your hand, it's not a cigar.
Yeah, I think that's probably a good rule of thumb.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this was in 2016. Cuban roller Jose Castellar Cairo, known as Cueto, set a record with a cigar measuring 90 meters, which is 295 feet, so about the length of an American football field. He rolled it in Havana to mark Fidel Castro's 90th birthday.
Oh, okay.
So there you go.
Did they light it up?
I did not have that fact in that.
I mean, how do you smoke it?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm assuming taking turns or something. I don't
guess
how
it's
many
normal size
you
and
can roll
width?
It down. Yeah, to the mouth size.
It was a wood tip, so
naturally
easy switcher. Yeah, it's easy.
All right, moving on to number three. We spent too much time on one.
Yes,
this one is so relevant to all of us. Reading every terms and condition or privacy policy that you agree to in a year would take about 244 hours.
Well, I believe that.
That makes sense.
That makes sense.
Man, you know, it just feels like a loophole that needs to be closed.
Because I read them all. So
Well, I mean, that alone should be used in any court case where they're like, 100%. Well, you should have read the fine print.
Come on.
Yeah.
Here's a stat for you.
Yeah. Kelly, you read all those, buddy?
No.
No. I just woke him up.
I thought you were sleeping, maybe. It took him a while,
I'm still thinking about this invisible art.
No, that is. Wow. Yeah.
You guys said you were speechless. I was literally speechless.
Yeah.
I can just see like James Franco having beers with his buddies. He's like, this idiot paid for it. Like,
got it sitting on the couch and his arms is around it. You know, it's up in the air.
Yeah. Little does he know, I still have it.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
How would she know?
Fake.
She wouldn't know.
That's a fake.
Wouldn't that be funny if she called? I don't think this is the real deal.
Oh, this is so dumb.
This doesn't look right.
Classic James.
Well, back to the terms and conditions. In 2008, Carnegie Mellon did a study that's called The Cost of Reading Privacy Policies. Yeah, I said that right. Policies by McDonald's and Craner. The average American would need about 244 hours, which, if given an 8-hour workday, would be 76 workdays.
That's insanity.
Each year. This is each year in theory, right?
That's nuts. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Well, without talking about specifically what I do, one of the government things I work on The document is 1,000 pages long.
Oh, wow.
And I'm supposed to be the one that knows, like, the ins and outs of it.
So these are the stipulations of whatever it is you're working with.
Yeah.
The guidelines.
And it's, yeah, the guidelines are 1,000 pages.
So do you get, in your job, do you get asked about it very often?
No. Oh, but, like, okay. I went looking, like,
but
I
had if you did, you just lie? Yeah.
Someone asked me one time a question I didn't know, and I went to the document. I went to this website.
Control F.
Yeah.
Yeah, find.
That's like, well, page 667 will tell you that.
Right. Crazy.
Goodness.
That's all right. Insane.
Moving on to the last one here.
Oh, there's still another one?
There's one more. And I really should have led with this one. You're right, because this pales in comparison. So there's a report called the World Happiness Report. They do it every year. Finland is the happiest country in the world.
It's almost always one of those.
It's an
Nordic
8-time winner. Yep. 8 in a row, in fact. 8-time repeat.
How about that?
It's, yep.
Any guesses to the least happy for this year, newly crowned this year?
America?
No.
No, we're not. Yeah.
No. We got to go third world.
Afghanistan.
Yeah, that is correct, as a matter of fact.
Is it?
Yes, it is.
The Nordic countries are always high on the list.
Yeah. But
Canada's up
Afghanistan
there
just beat out South Sudan in Africa. But
that was my number two.
Yeah. obviously.
Wow.
This is a research project done at Oxford in conjunction with UNESCO. And as it said, as we talked about, Finland was ranked number one for the 8th consecutive year, with Afghanistan on the bottom of the list. So there you go. We should move to Scandinavia. We could see the Northern Lights every single night
and be just so happy about it.
I would love to visit the Scandinavian
country. For sure.
I would love to see that.
All right. Brain bombs complete. Should I play the sound again?
I wouldn't.
Nobody heard it, so it doesn't matter.
Kelly's was better.
Yeah.
That's right. It was better. I thought it was better. Okay.
That was better.
All right. Well, that takes us to our trivia. And Nick's your show, kid.
All right. Trivia the Twist, part two. You guys kind of remember the first one, I assume?
Yeah.
You know?
Ironic answer.
Ironic. You know,
I remember every
little twist to it.
I think I won that one.
I think so, too. Mm. Yeah.
So you do remember.
Yeah. Well, Trivia with the Twist 2 delivers a fact-filled trivia showdown with unexpected challenges and clever curveballs. Contestants tackle questions spanning history, science, pop culture, and more, each with a unique twist to keep them on their toes. This sequel amps up excitement and new questions and surprising answers that will test both your knowledge and your will.
Mm.
Yeah, I wrote that off the top of my head.
Your writing is breathtaking. Took my breath away.
Is there a twist where someone else does this episode?
Quit making fun of my friend.
Such a jerk, and beautiful. I like it.
That's right.
Ring the bell, Andy. Let's go.
That's a do good guy. Leave him alone.
It's time for the main event, our 10-question trivia game on a very popular episode revisited, Trivia with a Twist, Episode 2. Here's how it works. Nick's going to read the questions. We'll write our answers on our whiteboards. He's got a quick trigger, and when he says reveal, we show our answers. If we get it right, we earn a point. Kelly on the board?
Sure.
All right. If we don't, well, that's when the fun begins. Let's see who ends up on top today. Nicholas?
All right. Question number one.
Oh, here we go.
Probably the most successful Beatle is Sir Paul McCartney. He's racked up many names over the years. Names like, is it Maca? Have you heard that nickname before?
I have not.
M-A-C-C-A.
I have not heard that.
Yeah. Percy Thrillington? No?
You made these up.
I did not. How about the Q Beetle?
Hey.
It's been called that, I guess.
The what?
I'm going to tell you right this. I've already wrote the answer down.
You already wrote it down?
The what Beetle?
The Cute Beetle.
Oh, okay.
Is one of them.
I guess.
So, what was his middle name? Anybody know? That's the question.
Oh, I thought you were reaching for the eraser. Okay.
Nope. I'm not changing it.
Okay.
Okay. You nailed the question? Yeah.
What's his real middle name?
What's Paul McCartney's real middle name? So the nicknames that I looked up, they're not that common, I guess.
No, I'm surprised. Like
Maca,
Scott,
Percy
or
Thrillington, and the Cute Beetle were some of the ones I found. I think there's a handful of others, possibly.
I'm surprised.
Was he considered the cutest of the Beatles?
I don't know.
Brian?
Him and Lennon probably both were pretty heartthrobish.
Yeah.
And they were, but
I thought Lennon was like the heartthrob, and
I think they
McCartney
both
was
were
more the cute guy.
Yeah.
Ringo was, I don't know, the dog of the whole bunch, probably.
Ringo.
All right. What was Paul McCartney's middle name? Or what is, I should say. Let's reveal. Andy has no middle name. We have Anthony from Brian, Paul from Kelly, and Paul from Scotty. It is Paul.
I thought about that. Yeah.
Paul?
Where'd you come with Anthony? Where'd that come from?
I just...
a common middle name.
Tony. I went... Oh, hey. There's some songs that infer Catholic names, and Anthony, to me, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. But I did think that maybe Paul was his actual middle name, not his first name. I should have went with that.
Yeah. Kelly, did you actually know that, or are you just going off the topic?
No, I knew that.
Oh, okay.
I recently just saw this. I watched a lot of reels about trivia, and it was within a day or two.
I dig it. And I like
that was the question.
I liked your guess, Andy.
Playing the
solid one.
Playing the
I would have got one of the two ways. That's probably
Paul was the first thing that came to
Paul
mind.
Paul or none.
Actually. Yeah, I was going to say, I know a couple people who know nicknames.
I just
or
middle names, sorry. That fact. Yeah. I really do. That's just so unique.
Born June 18th, 1942. He was knighted by Queen Elizabeth II in 1997. His parents chose to use Paul as his primary name to avoid confusion with his father, who also shared the name James.
Okay.
So that's why. Yeah.
Okay.
So he has a ton of accolades. Like, I could go on,
you can go on for
literally forever.
Yeah, you could. You
know, everybody knows who he is. His numbers are ridiculous.
Oh, absolutely.
Sir Paul McCartney.
Didn't he buy all of Michael Jackson's song rights?
I believe
he
so.
Did. He did.
Michael wasn't happy about that.
Every song.
So Michael told
him no.
Michael,
it's the opposite. Michael bought all the Beatles songs.
Michael bought the Beatles songs.
Upon Paul's suggestion.
He didn't say to buy his, though. He's like, how make money is you buy rights. And he went and bought his, and that kind of ended that relationship.
I did not know that. Okay.
No, he wasn't happy.
I mean, I think I knew that he bought them. I didn't know it ruined the relationship.
I'm not saying that. I don't know if they ever repaired it, but I know there was a little bit of a falling out because he's like, I didn't mean for you to go buy my music.
When their rights came up, I think they were like, I don't know if they knew that they were bidding against each other, but I think Michael had a little bit more money and was able to purchase them. And Paul did not like that.
Michael also had a partner, if I recall, and they had a falling out too.
Oh. Right. Say by the time he died, though, Paul had a lot more money.
I'm sure.
Michael, yeah. Yeah, wasted a lot of it.
All right, let's go on. Number two. In military history, the Allied invasion of Normandy is famously known as D-Day. What does the D in D-Day stand for? Everybody's deep in thought.
I actually know the answer. I'm just not sure how to write it.
That's intriguing. I don't know how to interpret that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Huh.
I feel like Brian knows this.
He doesn't seem confident.
No,
I do not.
So we're talking the invasion of Normandy.
I bet when I hear it, I'll be like, oh, yeah, but I don't know it.
I know I've heard it before, but I can't place it.
We're talking about D-Day, and we need to know what the D in D-Day
is. And there's a definitive, like, one or two or three-word answer for you?
There is a definitive answer.
And I just want to describe it.
Yeah, from military guidebooks, or whatever you want to call it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it is written. I checked a couple places for this to kind of make sure.
Yeah, I hear you.
Okay,
yeah.
I got it.
All right. I'll give you guys a few more seconds. We're looking for what the D stands for in D-Day. Andy, you good?
I don't know.
Kelly's
changing
done.
My answer, but they're both wrong.
Doc is still scribbling. I'm going to have to ask everyone to reveal, please. And now.
Yeah,
we have death from Kelly, defeat from Scotty, demolition day from Brian, and attack day from Andy. You're all incorrect. The D stands for day.
That's what I wrote.
Day.
So pissed.
Oh, that's hilarious.
The D simply stands for day.
That's pretty funny, actually.
I swear on everything, I had that written, and I thought that's like because it was D day, T time, H hour. Like,
H hour. Yes.
It was set up so that nobody could interpret.
Yeah.
Or intercept the day,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
know it was
no, coming. I get it. Yeah.
yeah,
so I just wrote day down, and
so it was daytime, so hour.
Yeah, like H for hour is listed in there. I actually have that as one of my examples. Yeah.
So in 1998, Lake of the Ozarks, Saving Private Ryan came out.
I think you've told this story
at the theater.
There, yeah.
And
no way.
You can hear the best crying. It was pretty. They had the hats on, so you know, old guys, pretty heavy. Like it really,
very real.
Yep.
So yeah, D stands for D-Day. H stands for hour. The exact time for the, let's see here. So, H actually stands for the exact time the operation is supposed to start. Obviously, D is for the day. It was around 6:30 a.m. When the first wave hit Omaha Beach. Over 156,000 Allied troops landed on the beaches of Normandy on June 6, 1944, making it the largest amphibious invasion in history. Anybody remember all the beach names?
Omaha, Utah. Nebraska.
Not Nebraska.
Utah.
Omaha, Utah.
I remember Utah, yeah.
Gold, Juno, and Sword.
Okay.
Those are the five. What,
do I have invasions. Any argument here? I was right, but I...
No.
That's fine.
Not even close.
I just wanted to bring it up because it was right. Everything about it was right except the word before it, which was a descriptor of what it meant.
Wait, what is
he's nobody, trying desperately to get a point. Let's move on.
I get what you're
saying. So you said 156,000?
I thought, well, yes. That doesn't make sense. So do you know how many people died on the beach?
That's not.
So I know it's like...
not even listening.
That's up to Nick. I'm listening to you.
No, I'm listening to you, and the answer is no.
Yeah, fair enough. Because so, I know, like, you know, like you watch Saving Private Ryan, they say that was one of the realest depictions of the, like, they were just getting murdered. I mean, just massacred out there.
I don't have the number.
I mean, they were successful, but that's why I was curious how many they lost, because it was insane.
It was a lot.
Very much.
All right, we're going to move on. Number three, which U.S. state is named after the Spanish word for snow? So we got the U.S. states, only 50 to choose from. One word or one name is the Spanish word for snow. Deep in thought. And I know these questions are not any that anybody would know off the top of your head. It's supposed to be like a thinker. It's
kind of the idea, right?
Yeah. Use a little deduction. You know, obviously these are quirky and twisty answers. Man, so, you know. Wow.
You said the Spanish?
It's the Spanish word for snow. So yeah, go through all 50 real quick. Which one sounds a little bit Hispanic?
No, I don't speak Spanish.
The whole wheel of cheese?
Yeah, man, I'm impressed.
I'm amazed.
Snow-o.
All right. I'm going to ask it one more time, then we have to reveal. So we're looking for this U.S. state that is named after the Spanish word for snow. Let's reveal. We got Andy with Arizona, Nevada from Brian, Maine from Kelly, and Arizona from Scotty. We do have one correct answer.
Nevada.
It is Nevada.
Nice job, V.
Yes.
Dang. I was trying to think what sounds, you know, that's
what,
where I was
what
going.
Sounds and.
And I was also thinking out west.
Yeah, you know, and based on the question, like you think, okay, if it's for snow, then it's probably a hot place. Mm-hmm. You know, that's kind of what I was getting
well,
at.
Well, yeah, but then I thought they got the mountains though, right?
So yep.
I was, trying to.
Yeah. The Sierra Nevada mountains.
Yeah.
Well done, B. That was in part of my flavor text. And which actually means snowy mountains.
Oh, yeah, very nice.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yep. Despite its modern image of deserts and casinos, the name reflects the snow-capped peaks that early Spanish explorers and settlers saw in the region. So next time you think of Las Vegas, think of the heat. But just remember that Nevada was named for its cooler, snowier side.
Hey.
Cool. Well, I've seen it.
Nice.
Yeah.
Three of us.
We were in Nevada, and the interstate shut down because it was too snowy.
Oh.
Boom.
That doesn't happen a lot.
No.
That's a Tahoe.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to number four. The Hundred Years' War wasn't quite as neat and tidy as its name suggests. So it began in 1337. When did it actually end?
You want the year, I'm assuming?
Yes. The Hundred Years' War.
Okay.
When did it end? And again, I know nobody should know this off the top of their head. I don't actually expect
any... the year it began again?
It started in 1337. So when did the Hundred Years' War end?
I feel confident about this one.
Really?
You do. I like it.
Based on what? No? Nothing?
Delusion. Just knowing stuff.
Okay. I know things.
And I actually feel like I should give like a plus or minus on this a little bit. Just
I drink and I know things.
Nobody really should know how long this war. No. I mean, other than based on the name. But,
right.
You know, but I wouldn't have put the question in here. It was that simple, would I?
Yeah, make us earn it.
So, okay. You guys earned it.
Hold on. Say it again.
The Hundred Years' War started in 1337. When did it end? The Hundred Years' War. Got it? All right, no plus or minus. You guys say you don't need it. Let's reveal. When did it end? 1412 from Brian, 1437 from Andy, 1433 from Kelly, and 1400 from Scotty. Nobody is correct, and nobody was really that close. It was 1453.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
The name makes absolutely no sense to me. That's why I put it in here. I thought it was stupid.
Stupid.
I thought it was 96 years.
No, 116 to be exact.
Man. I wrote down 1400 because they changed centuries, and yeah. I thought, well, maybe, you know. Trying to follow along with the topic with it being a twist.
Right. Yeah. No, and again, I thought I should give a buffer. You know, if somebody was close, I feel like I was going to give it to you because nobody's going to know. That was 116.
If you're going to give it to anybody, I was the closest.
Kelly was pretty confident.
Would you guess again?
1433.
Yeah. 100 years?
Well, no, actually, he would have been closer.
Oh, no, that wasn't, 100. That wasn't even 100 years.
Yeah. I went exactly 100, 100, actually, even though you specifically said not to.
I tried to warn
math
you.
Math wasn't their strong
point. That's right.
I'm not even going to read the flavor text because I don't give a crap about the 100-year war. To be fair.
Who fought in it?
Oh, that's a good question. England and France.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Okay.
It wasn't a single continuous battle. So it was like a series of wars. I guess there was like truce, stop and, you know, they'd stop and go back at it. Okay.
Those two countries love each other.
I guess they would take breaks and get back to fighting.
Was that when Braveheart
tea breaks?
Was?
Yeah.
No, it was like 1200s.
Timeline on Braveheart?
1200s?
They were messing with the French too. Ooh.
Braveheart?
1200s?
Yeah. Ooh, that sounds right. No. Yeah, maybe. I got it.
We'll get back to you guys on that.
All right. We're going to go to question number five. Then we'll do a score check. So millions of people came to enjoy Alexander Graham Bell's revolutionary invention, the telephone. But why didn't his own wife reap the rewards of his labor?
Yeah. 100%.
B's got it. He feels confident.
Andy's, Big Bang Theory.
Andy is thinking hard. Oh, Big Bang Theory. Yeah. They got some good stuff in that show.
I love that show.
Decent knowledge. Kelly's answered. Seems confident.
Just a good educated
guess. Okay.
Doc? Just an educated guess.
All right. Andy is now scribbling. What?
I'm still so mad, man.
What?
I got it right, but I didn't get it.
No, you didn't.
I'm moving on. All right. So Alexander Graham Bell, he invents the telephone, but his wife didn't get to reap the rewards. Why not? Because Andy said she was dead.
Oh, that's better.
Brian is deaf. So does Kelly. And so does Scotty. Yes.
Spelling doesn't count, right?
She was deaf.
She was invisible. Yeah,
that's funny.
Dead was my first thought.
Yeah.
I'm like, deaf makes more sense.
When they had the time machine.
Yes.
And like, I go back to, that. And they're like, well, she wouldn't even know you're,
Yeah. Yeah, so his wife was deaf from a young age due to a childhood illness. Ironically, Bell dedicated much of his early career to teaching the deaf and developing techniques to help with hearing.
Good thing he invented the phone.
Yeah, no kidding. Right. His love for his wife and passion for helping the hearing impaired was deeply connected to his life's work. So while the world heard his invention loud and clear, the woman that meant the most to him could not hear it.
Oh. I thought he did like Spike. Look what I did. Walked out of the room.
I don't want to talk to her.
Just a jerk.
I want to talk to anyone but her. How can I reach them?
Anyone in the world.
Something that makes me hear. Well, that's five. Kelly, what do we got?
All right. So we'll go from the bottom to the top. Dr. Andy has zero.
Don't even care.
He is not happy. You should see his face.
Got lasers coming out of his eyes. Wow.
And then Scott,
intense.
Myself, and Brian both have two. All three have two.
Ooh, two out of five.
All right. It's kind of unexpected. I didn't expect high numbers on this because it's a...
I like the random
factor. It's a crapshoot kind of thing.
Yeah.
Random's fun. I like random.
Whatever.
All right. Moving on to number six.
Andy's salty.
Yes, he is. I'm interested to see what the listeners think.
Yeah.
If you should have got credit for attack day.
Listeners.
I feel like if his wrist was an injury, he might have punched
I'm the favorite one.
Well, if you don't win the trivia, we'll backlog that point for you.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Fair point.
All right.
I'm still at zero, by the way.
Oh, if you end it with zero, I'm not backlogging.
We're no. two, though, no. So you're not out of it. Yeah. It's only two.
Yeah, you're in the mix.
Got to get off the schneid. Come on, Nick.
So, despite the name, the French fry might be telling a tall tale. In which country were French fries actually invented?
I know this, and I can't think of the...
Boy.
I feel like I should give a hint or something.
No.
No? You feel that good about it?
No, I do not feel that good about it, but don't let's not do that.
I just feel like it's such a big shot in the dark. Like, this is not common.
I've heard it before. I took a guess, but I know I've heard it before.
I'm feeling like 85% on this.
Wow.
Oh, that's pretty good. I'm not even close. Surprising. But I mean, I know I've heard it before, but I don't.
I think I've heard this. Yeah. And I
really?
I mean, it's so, I'm not going to say anything more.
No hint?
I'm not going to say anything more.
All right. We don't want to do hints.
It's either that or it's the worst guess ever, but.
Yeah. All right.
Throwing a dart.
Despite its name, the French fry, kind of telling a tall tale. Where was it actually invented? We have Belgium from Andy, Italy from Scotty, Denmark from Kelly, and Belgium from Scotty.
Belgium sounds right.
It is Belgium.
Yeah, sounds, I heard that
Belgium.
Before.
As soon as I heard Belgium, I knew it. Yep.
Wow. How?
I know it's in there, man.
Something it's like, well, I don't know if this is a future question, but there was something about pizza, right? It was like with pizza and also not.
Pizza was invented in China.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Yeah,
Marco Polo.
I've never heard that before.
Marco Polo found it and brought it back to Italy.
Actually,
There
we go. Yes, but
I'm glad you asked.
Well, the Belgians are not clever people,
not pizza. But I knew pizza was not invented in Italy.
In Italy. I just heard this.
Still, that you came up with Belgium.
Yeah, no, it's in there. I that was not.
And honestly, as soon as I saw it, I'm like, that's it. I knew. Wow. Like I knew I'd heard it before. Yeah,
that's. I'm shocked. I'm surprised. Yeah,
off the show.
The French fry born in Belgium. According to food historians, villagers in the Meuse Valley, I guess that's how you say it. I mean, Meuse, M-E-U-S-E.
Yeah, it was named after me. Meuse Valley.
Meuse Valley of Belgium.
Meuse.
We're frying small fish in as early as the 1600s.
Waffles.
That was going to kind of be my guess. It's something to do, like the name is a food name.
Waffle fry.
Fries and waffles.
But when the rivers froze in the winter, they sliced up potatoes and in the same shape as the... Sorry, I'm trying to correct myself. Okay. So they sliced up potatoes in the same shape and then fried them. Boom, you got French fries.
Nice.
Mm. Yeah. Hmm. I'm really shocked that you guys got it. Yeah.
I'm impressed.
Yeah. So the name French fries likely came from American soldiers during World War I when they encountered these crispy treats in a French-speaking Belgium-like town. So that's how
became
a French fry.
Okay, I was curious where that came from.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Regardless if they were made in France or not, right. Wouldn't typically call them by their origin. Yeah.
Let's move on to the next one. We got number 7. The Caesar salad. Sounds like it's fit for an emperor. Combining romaine lettuce, olive oil, Parmesan cheese, croutons, and Worcestershire sauce. And an egg yolk. In what country was the Caesar salad actually invented? Part of me wants to almost give a bonus point if you know city and country.
Oh.
Would you get deducted for guessing a city and it's not wrong?
No, I'm not. All right. It's not like anybody's knocking this out of the park.
Yeah, right, no, touche.
That's tough.
Yeah. But you are on the board now, Andy, right?
I am.
Yeah. So, yeah, I will not deduct a point if you go... city and country.
But you're just asking for the country.
Yes.
Can you? I know it's a little long, but could you read it one more time?
Sure. I'll condense it.
Okay.
Where was the Caesar salad invented?
Wow, that's much better.
There's a lot more in there than I thought. Maybe he had a hint.
There was
something.
A lot more in the beginning. I listed all the ingredients. So it sounds like it's fit for an emperor. I listed all the ingredients. In what country was the Caesar salad actually invented? B, how you feeling?
Total shot in the dark.
Bill shot in the dark. Kelly, I feel like, is on some kind of a track.
I like Caesar salad very much.
I love the Caesar salad.
I'm a big fan.
Yeah, might be one of my favorite. Definitely top three salad for me.
Oh, for sure.
And there's an opportunity for another point if you get the city.
If you get city and country, I will give you 2 points.
What if you get the date?
But if the
the date?
You win.
You win trivia. It's over.
I don't have I don't have the specific date. I think I have the... I at least have the year.
I'm just going to throw it out there. It's probably on the Ides of March.
All right. So we're trying to figure out where the Caesar salad was invented. We have New York from Andy, Munich, Germany from B, Sparta, Greece from Kelly, and Athens, Greece from the Doc. You were all incorrect.
Darn it.
It obviously was invented in Tijuana, Mexico.
Duh. No kidding.
Yes.
Get out of here.
That's crazy.
Yeah. It's named after the guy that did it. Caesar Cardini.
Cesar.
Yeah. Caesar Cardini.
Same place they created syphilis and herpes.
The donkey show.
Is that the dog whisperer?
I kind of... Tia want to punch
He's
you in the face.
He's a Renaissance
right
man.
Well, at least he was an Italian immigrant.
Okay.
If that helps you at all.
How did he end up in Tijuana?
Donkey
show.
He wanted to avoid the restrictions of prohibition in the U.S. So, he whipped this up on the fly on a busy 4th of July weekend, and the original version didn't actually include anchovies. That came later.
Yeah. So that's why I wrote Greece, was because of the anchovies. Nice. When my wife and I were newlyweds, we went out to a nice restaurant and ordered a Caesar salad, and it came with dead fish on it.
Yep, you love the fish.
What is it? I'd never seen anchovies on a
dead fish as opposed to live fish.
That would have been better, Kelly.
It's in a water bowl or what?
I didn't actually list anchovies when I read the original.
So what'd you do? Did you pick the fish off and eat it, or did you not even eat it?
There's no way he ate it. No way.
Well, I didn't know what it was. It looked like black electrical tape.
It's a weird looking fish. What?
It's an anchovy. Sure it wasn't black olives?
Like, it didn't look like what it looked like on a pizza.
Interesting.
So when you say you pick it off, you can't remove anchovy from something.
Oh, okay.
If you put having worked in a pizza place for a long time through high school and college, if you put one anchovy on the side of a pizza and then cut it off and throw it away, the whole pizza tastes like anchovy.
Oh, is really? That why you smelled like that?
Yeah, for 15 years.
Very salty.
It just like infects and everything.
Like fishy, like real prominent.
Yep. It sticks to everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to number 8.
This is not looking good, guys.
Yeah. I didn't expect good scores on this one.
Not our strongest show.
I still like it, though.
He painted the Mona Lisa. He dreamed up flying machines centuries ahead of his time. But in which small Italian town was Leonardo, I can't say this whole thing, actually born? So the guy that painted the Mona Lisa, the full name, I don't know if I can read all that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the town?
So yeah, what town was he born in?
And you're saying you can't even pronounce it?
No, I can't pronounce, because he has 12 names almost, total. Yeah. He has a handful of names. But what town was Leonardo
da Vinci
born in?
Okay.
That's what I was trying to get to.
Okay.
Because there's a D-I, a S-E-R, Piero. I mean, he has multiple things on top of what we know him as.
I was just asking if it's a city name, because that changes how you...
Yes. What city? Or what small Italian town, to be specific? Ooh. Yes.
A little hint there.
Yeah. Everybody have an answer?
Hold on.
Oh, he's rethinking it. Yeah. No, I didn't say the full name because there's more we're accustomed to.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't know how to... Dicer? Piero? No, there's a lot in there.
You don't speak Italian.
I don't. I do not.
We tried to do that in the Italian food. That didn't last long.
No. Not good at it. All right. So what small town was Leonardo da Vinci born in? We have Vinci from Andy, Monticello, I guess is how you say it, from Brian. We have Da Vinci, Italy. And we have Vinci from Scott. The actual town is called Vinci.
Mm-hmm. I knew that's why you wouldn't say it, because you wouldn't say the word.
I didn't want to.
Off his name, huh?
Yes. Da Vinci is of Vinci.
Okay. I didn't know that.
Leonardo of Vinci.
Of Vinci.
So I'm assuming I did not get that.
I don't know. Would you write again? I don't even remember.
I wrote Da Vinci.
You wrote Da Vinci.
It's of Italy. It is of Vinci.
Anybody?
You're the host.
I mean, part of me wants to say yes because, I mean, Vinci, I feel like you knew what you're talking about, but you thought the town was actually called Da Vinci.
But it means.
It means of Vinci. So Vinci is the town name. Sounds like I got to stick with it. It has to be Vinci. Vinci and only Vinci.
I'm completely fine with that.
Yeah.
So, it's because I'm competing against them.
So that's Andy and Scott.
Yeah, I got them too.
Yes. Yeah. So yeah. Leonardo da Vinci. Da Vinci means of Vinci.
That was a lot of names back then.
Did you intentionally not say his last name so that you didn't read answer in the question?
So I was hesitant with it,
yeah.
But also I did get stuck. Like, it's Leonardo da Sir Piero da Vinci, all in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I was trying,
like Kelly's kids.
Trying not to.
I picked up.
I was trying not to. So yeah, it literally means he's the son of Sir Pierre from Vinci. Mm-hmm. That's his name. I guess the D Sir means son. There's a lot of names in there. So he's born in 1452 in tiny Tuscan town of Vinci, just outside of Florence.
So about the end of the Hundred Years' War.
Hey, all right.
Nice. Well done. He listened.
Everything comes back around.
He did a lot of cool things. We know about Leonardo da Vinci. A lot of cool stuff. including including dissecting corpses. He was ambidextrous, and he wrote in mirror script.
Yes, he could write. Yeah, that's crazy.
Which is nuts.
That All right, I'm sorry. Yeah. I don't. What's mirror script? Help me out.
He could write like in the if you were to look in the mirror, he could write as if
like if he was writing backwards, so it would look right in the mirror. Kind of.
If you wrote regular and you looked in the mirror, he could write that way.
Yes.
That's pretty cool.
He was the Tony Stark of his time.
The Vitruvian Man.
That's just pretty cool.
He was crazy. He was very talented.
Did you like that, Don?
No, I said except he was a real person.
Okay, yeah, even better.
All right, well, that was eight. Kelly, where are we at?
All right, we have a three-way tie for second place. Kelly, Brian, and Andy, we all have two, and Scott has four.
Mm.
Just need to go one of two.
There's still a chance.
Need to... Fight
on. Scores are terrible, but I expected that coming into this episode.
I want to see a four-way tie.
So do I.
Oh, that'd be fun. Yeah, I like that.
All right, Kelly. I feel like this one
might... Scott, bomb the next two. So
I might very well do that.
If you head as far south as you can...
Uh-oh.
On the African continent...
My brain hurts.
Which country will you find at the very bottom? So what is the southernmost country of Africa?
Kelly should know that.
I feel like he does.
Country.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
It's wrong, but I
guess. So, which country is at the bottom of Africa? Make sense?
Yep.
Yeah, let me write something down here.
I know it's wrong because it's the obvious answer, but I don't have a clue, so.
I don't know geography. I'm assuming this one's correct.
I like geography, but yeah.
I'm terrible at it. So, we're looking for the country at the bottom of Africa. Does everybody have an answer? Doc, you good?
I just wrote something down.
All right, let's see what everybody thinks. We have South Africa from everybody but Scott. He has Madagascar, so that is a swing and a miss, Doc. It is definitely the southernmost country in Africa is South Africa.
Yeah. I thought it was too obvious. You know what I mean? Like that's why
that's kind of the point of the trivia. Trivia with the twist. Yep. Some things are super obvious.
Charlize Theron's from there.
That's correct.
Oh, yeah. Dave Matthews.
Dave Matthews is from South Africa.
Left it open for you guys, trying to help
His parents were American, but he was born, lived there most of his life.
Did not know that. Well, I don't have a ton to say about it. There's not really tricky wordplay here. The southernmost country in Africa is South Africa.
Sharks.
Yeah, makes sense.
Sharks, surfing, apartheid.
All adds up.
Yeah.
Yep.
Kelly just said it all best right there. Sharks and apartheid.
Scott, it's coming down to one question, sir.
All right.
When it's this random, you never know.
Here we go. Number 10 for everything here. We could have a four-way tie or Scott with another dub. All right.
That'd be fun.
Despite its name, German chocolate cake isn't from Germany. So where was this decadent dessert actually invented? And I will give you 1 point for the country, 1 point for the state, and 1 point for the city. So I'm giving you a pretty big clue.
Yeah.
So if it was in Europe, it would have been Germany, Bavaria, Munich. But we all know it wasn't invented in Germany. So I'm looking for the country, the state, and the city, a point for each.
There are no states in the European countries.
I don't know. There's things like called like city. Germany. There's things called like city states, or there's regions. I don't know. There's a lot.
Shut up! I'm thinking.
So you're saying there's a possible three points.
Possibility of 3 points if you know the country, the city, and the state. Felt like that was a pretty solid clue to kind of just narrow it down to a country. So we're looking for where the German chocolate cake was invented. And it wasn't in Germany. And there's a possibility of 3 points.
I'm playing the title.
I'm assuming everybody should get 1 point. You know.
I would hope so.
All right, well, let's reveal. Doc is still writing.
I was trying to pick a city.
All right, let's reveal. Doc, I'm gonna start with you because you're in the lead. We have USA, Dallas, Texas. We have Chicago, Illinois, from Kelly, also in the USA. New York from Brian. And Hershey, Pennsylvania from Andy. We do have a correct answer. It is Dallas, Texas.
What? It is 100%.
Come on.
Dallas,
That's
Texas.
That's crazy.
The front door.
Are you serious?
Okay. Why would I joke about this?
Okay, so obviously you gave away USA.
Yes, that was intentional.
I thought it's got to be Southern. So I just,
sure.
I thought it was
because it's rich.
It's a rich chocolate dessert. Yeah.
Love it.
Okay. I initially thought German settlers, so I was thinking Midwest, but then I'm like, well, New York, right?
Sure.
So yeah.
But
Dallas, Texas, though. So
there's definitely
random.
Some German areas in Texas.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, see, I didn't really know that, but
I wrote
that's
the
crazy.
First two right out of the gate, and then I was
that's hilarious.
Yeah.
City. That's funny.
It was actually named after Samuel German, who is an English American. Yeah. He's not even German. That's who it's named after.
But he created it?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
He created it for the Baker's Chocolate Cake Company in the 1850s.
Unreal.
A Texas homemaker used German sweet chocolate in the 1950s in a 1950s recipe, and the cake just took off, eventually dropping the apostrophe and confusing dessert lovers everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So no Lederhosen or Black Forest origins here, just good old Texas baking ingenuity.
Yeah. Well, it is basically a Texas sheet cake with that coconut caramel icing on the top, so... Yeah. That plays.
I don't even know how you do that. I
believe he nailed Dallas, Texas for the German chocolate.
I'm not surprised by the Texas. I'm just shocked at the Dallas.
I dig it. Come on, stupid. I dig it.
Although I have to say, as ridiculous as it is that you got that right, I'm so thankful that we can still be friends and I did not lose by one.
I love it. That's a good guess. So I can actually,
let it go now. Flashed up, I'm like, that's actually
a good guess. Good guess.
A lot of Amish and stuff like that up in that area.
Sure. I agree.
Mennonites too. Yeah.
Yep. So Kelly, what's the final?
So there's a three-way tie for second still. Andy, Brian, and myself have three. And then Scott has five with a two-point bonus question. So three. It was
3 points for...
Three points total.
He got five, six, seven.
Okay, gotcha.
So he was one. Answer that question. And so he ended up with seven.
Gotcha.
All right.
Well done.
Score's misleading.
Nice job. Yeah, that score...
Very misleading.
Close.
It's a dumb episode. It's at the end of the day.
So it would be basically out of 14 possible points.
Yeah,
that one was three, and
there's another one. I said
the city and country for the Caesar salad.
I was going to give a bonus if you had the city and.
Does anybody remember the answer?
Tijuana, Mexico.
Oh, yeah,
I will say
it's still Tijuana. Random trivia in my face.
I like the random's probably my favorite. I like that
random trivia.
Yeah, just because you never know what's called. I don't know. I dig it. Yeah,
I'm glad you liked it.
Yeah, it's hard to feel confident on random trivia.
It is because. Again, you don't expect most people to know these answers, so I'm hoping the questions give enough clue
for
you to make that educated guess.
I mean, that's my favorite. It's my wheelhouse. I love watching obscure documentaries and learning things.
Yeah, or to trip you up.
Yeah.
That's the whole idea.
It's all of it, yeah.
That's the whole idea.
Yeah.
The tiebreaker wasn't that great. It was, according to a Google search, how many pounds of French fries were consumed by Americans in 2024.
Oh, wow.
It's a lot.
I bet it's crazy.
Is it in
2024?
In the billions or trillions?
It's in the billions.
Okay. Oh my! We're so fat.
It's 4.5 billion.
Oh, pounds of French fries.
Pounds of French fries.
That's not even.
I'm good for a million, probably. But the rest is on them.
That's a lot.
That is crazy. That's crazy.
It's depressing, really.
Yeah.
It is kind of sad. Yeah. That's why I said we're so fat.
That's all I got, Andy. I'll throw it back to you to wrap up this episode.
Yeah, well, that was trivia, so I guess we'll just close it out from this point forward.
Oh, wow. This guy is so mad.
He is not.
You know, the other thing I love about random trivia, though, I think for me, keeps the mind clear. So when you know you have a certain topic, say you get one right or one wrong, so the next question, you know it's still in the same vein. With random, though, it's like every question could be.
You got to open back up.
You see what I'm saying? Like, I kind of like that, too.
For sure.
So, yeah.
All right, that's going to do it for this episode of whatever.
Jeez, just disheveled.
Thanks for tuning in, guys. Please make sure you hit that subscribe button and leave us a review. We'd love to hear what you have to say. We'll see you next time with more trivia and more fun. And until then, keep your brain sharp and your bellies laughing.
Hey, trivia fans, we're excited to partner with Warrior Logo Wear, a veteran-owned company bringing you the exclusive Ultimate Trivia Podcast apparel. No minimum orders, just high-quality gear so you can rep your love for trivia in style. Shop now at www.warriorlogowear.com. Through the link in our show notes, on social, or at theultimatetriviapodcast.com. Big thanks to Warrior Logo Wear for teaming up with us. Now let's get to the trivia.